Welcome back to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast. I'm here with Ariel and Xavier. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning.
Doing great. Good.
I suppose I should introduce myself. I'm Brad, by the way. You don't need to know me. They're way more important and cooler than I am.
You do have a famous voice, probably, at this point.
This is very true.
It's clearly not
very distinct.
Voices are strange like that. Well, let's jump right into it with some news that just came across the wire and I think was just announced recently, which is that Stonewall Jackson Middle School in the city of Roanoke is changing names, guys.
That is so good. It makes me really happy.
On a 6-1 vote.
Mm-hmm. And there it's now going to be referred to as John P. Fishwick Middle School, which we all raise the question, I think, of why we have to continue naming it after folks.
But, right.
You know, it's certainly better than Stonewall Jackson, I think.
Yeah. I guarantee you somebody's going to find something wrong with that one.
The article says, John Fishwick, a son of immigrants, was born in Southeast Roanoke, where Stonewall Jackson Middle School is located. He was president of Norfolk and Western Railway from 1970 to 1981.
And apparently he oversaw the merger that saw them become Norfolk Southern as they are today. But very interesting. For me, it's interesting because it happened quickly, which I did not expect it to happen quite this quickly.
Does anybody know if his family is still in?
So, yeah, his family, his son, I think, has a law firm in the area.
Okay.
I will say that it looks like his son does civil rights law and stuff, so maybe there's that's a nice thing
absolutely
to add in there as well and stuff. So, but, yeah, good news there. And I suppose we'll stick with the school stuff just for a moment here, just to note that we keep seeing stories come out of the county with Cave Spring High School and what a fiasco it seems to be that they're trying to renovate their school. I don't know if you guys have been following much of this, but it just seems like a never-ending story in some ways.
What are the main issues? I haven't been following.
So the story that's this week's story is that they're now just assuring everyone that it's going to be in a good condition by the beginning of the school year. But the goal was that they wanted to have it renovated over the summer. But then all the quotes that they got were significantly like 30 to 40% higher than what they were expecting to get.
Yikes.
And so they're now in all these conversations about putting it back out to bid and re-examining the scope of work. But it's just turned into quite a thing that doesn't seem to have any end in sight at this point.
How bad is the condition currently?
I can't speak to that.
Okay.
Speaking as you were this morning about how city schools don't have gymnasiums, right. I don't think it's that bad. So who knows? It's just the county seems to be in quite turmoil over what to do with that particular piece of property. We'll move on then and follow up on our story last week about the turboprops with more airport news. This, I think, is very positive news. I talked to someone this past week who said that this is probably the biggest business news to come out of Roanoke in a long time. This being that there's going to be federal funding coming in to bringing nonstop service to places such as Dallas, Denver, and/or Detroit to Roanoke, which I think is going to be a huge deal for our airport and our city. And
absolutely, I think I saw it said $750,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a big deal, and I think we have to give credit to some of our people in Congress for helping make that happen.
Sounds like the business community, the business leaders, were pretty persuasive with that too.
I saw, yeah,
to the point where they were putting in some of their own funding to make some of this move forward. I think that just shows that this is clearly a priority and has been for years. So I'm glad that this pressure valve is getting released a little bit.
I think it's appropriate, too, that we maybe give a little bit of a shout-out to Tim Bradshaw, who I think has done really good work incrementally, and now to have a big win like this looks really good, and I'm happy for him to be able to put his hat on that.
They have those ads on radio and TV about flying from home, and I'm happy to say I'll have my first flight out of the Roanoke Airport coming up here soon. So I'm starting that trend, and hopefully other people are finding it more convenient to do the same.
It is funny you mentioned that, because actually growing up, I know we said no personal anecdotes, but I'm going to share one anyway. That I grew up in Charlottesville, and we actually came to Roanoke to get on a flight growing up, which I now we're like we would probably do the opposite then, likely than that now, which is interesting.
Planes got bigger. Roanoke Airport didn't change.
Truth. Let's talk a little bit about a new initiative that the local jail is doing. where they're going to be offering a new drug to some of their folks. It looks like it's called Vivitrol. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, which is a brand name for naltrexone, which is a treatment drug for opioid addiction. And essentially what this does, in my understanding, is it allows them to essentially stave off cravings for a month and allow people to get into the programs that they need to really combat that addiction head on and get past that, which this for me seems like a really good way to spend any money that we have going in there, and just a positive way to lead this charge.
Yeah. This story was super interesting. I'm curious how long this treatment option has been available in general, because this seems to be the one of the biggest problems with jail is that people come out and are just dropped back into their normal life and don't really have time to get their feet back under them in a lot of ways. It said that also in the article, it has no street value, which is, I think, an interesting element to this as well, that it can't really be turned around and sold back on the street.
It is. It's also, I think, you know, there's a mindset that goes around jail in some ways, and that there's a kind of a choice in my mind between whether you view it as punishment and whether you view it as a treatment place. And this, to move towards a more treatment place, regardless of what side I think that you wind up on, you know, I think you have to understand that that's a move towards keeping recidivism from happening, keeping people out of jail in the future. So exciting news. Really happy to hear that they're doing that. All right, let's see here.
Let's talk about this park tower.
This park tower.
The cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was so interesting. Have you guys seen the ones that are camouflaged as pine trees?
Yes. They look ridiculous.
Yeah, yes. Of course you've seen them, because they're so odd. It's like, what is that thing? You know? So I'm really happy they chose the monopole, personally, because the pine trees look crazy.
They do, especially a 99-foot pine tree. Which is what, so some backstory is just that the Board of Zoning Appeals has approved a tower to go into Preston Park. They have not allowed a similar tower in Fallon because there was an error with the application. Sounds like there probably will be a tower in Fallon Park eventually. But the choice was a 99-foot pine tree or a 93-foot unadorned steel monopole, which, if you've seen these, there's one I know, if you're going into Charlotte, you can see it on the left side of the road in Concord Mills, Concord area. And it is just hideous. And you're like, what on earth is that monstrosity?
Oh, I haven't seen one.
That's so funny. I mean, it's way taller than anything.
Okay.
So it just pops out of nowhere and you're like, okay, well, that's clearly not a tree. And it's supposed to look like a tree. It's just like when you see one of those fake stereo speaker rock things and you're okay, well, they tried.
Yes. So anyway, hopefully this means better cell reception for us in the area. But who knows? It also means a big tower, which I'm sure, Xavier, I expect you'd be climbing that here soon. So, just
know. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
People still do that?
Climb cell phone towers.
Put it on YouTube or something.
Right. Try to go viral.
But we did have another thing this week where somebody outside the area gave us a little bit of an accolade. Outside Magazine this time included us in their best places to live thing. So we keep seeming to rack these up among folks that like outdoor stuff.
Yep. They really focused on the emerging brewery scene and the fact that the city and the area has embraced it as part of our culture and how that attracts young, hip, new residents and visitors. And, I think that comes with a set of issues because it really only addresses a certain demographic.
Exactly.
But Outside Magazine, though, that's their demographic. Yeah. So makes sense.
Yeah, I would definitely say that I've met a lot of people that they come here just for the festivals and the breweries last weekend, of course. But it's good traffic. But, like Ariel said, it's only hitting one thing.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting as well that right when I left Charlottesville, they got named the best place to live in the country by some fairly prominent magazines. And it accelerated momentum that was already there, but it created a big change in the community. That I look at Charlottesville now, it's no longer the same place that it was before.
Right.
So you do worry a little bit when you start getting too many of these things? Do we lose some of what makes us special?
And right.
What are we leaving out of this equation when we have these conversations?
Do you think that in Charlottesville's case that the city residents gained a sense of pride that wasn't there before? Or do you think there was much more of a like, whoa, whoa, kind of feeling?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. I think Charlottesville has never been lacking for pride. So that that is something to be noticed in that area. So no, it was more like, and the city itself has very much changed the same. What's really happened is that the area around it has exploded and it's now,
right.
So now you have to drive through all the suburban stuff, but the main downtown area is still very much, they've managed to isolate themselves and still maintain kind of their own identity, which is a weird thing. Now you have like three different communities in one place, and that's, you know, we know what that's like in a place like Roanoke. So, anyway, well,
before we move on from that, I want to say one thing that has come up in all of the different industries I've worked in Roanoke, which is like 2.5 thus far. But basically that the breweries and the outdoors and all that, they have a lot of focus in the bigger organizations that do promote the region to the outside world. And the smaller industries and smaller organizations don't have as much of a presence in that. So it's up to the people who work in those industries to start really trying to publicly tell those stories. And, you know, something we should try to do is make sure we're always taking a diverse angle at what big stories are being told in this. Just moving forward, we will certainly try to do that. But I would like to impress upon everyone else to go ahead and start pushing out other stories, too, about Roanoke. It's really important.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And even just what we were just now talking about with the Roanoke, with the Outside magazine. People from the outside can only see what they see, but it's up to us, you know, to really push out the things that we see.
Yeah, they're never going to hear about stuff
absolutely,
we don't say.
Absolutely, because there's a lot of good stuff here that actually keeps Roanoke natives here more than just outside. Not to downplay that or anything like that, but there's more to it.
Yeah, we never want to take the outdoors for granted because it's such a wonderful part
absolutely.
Of this community. It's what makes it Roanoke, but... Man, there's a lot more that goes on in this valley. Yeah,
absolutely.
That stuff.
But I think that's an interesting point, particularly in Live 2. The other stories that got a fair amount of press this week were regarding Explore Park, which I think builds into that same narrative that maybe our news source in the area like to tell those outside stories. And, you know, maybe that's they think the audience that they're serving likes to hear those stories as well. But it's just an interesting thing that presence is certainly very strong in our local media.
It is. And I think they get a lot back from it. They get a lot of advertising potential out of it. They get a lot of news from regional, national journals. A lot of travel writers come through about outdoor, you know, especially things related to this culture of the breweries and outdoors. So I get it completely. So that just means that the rest of us need to kind of elevate our game a little bit and be a little louder with the other successes and the other cool stuff going on. I think we just need to continue to push that forward.
I think that's particularly true internally. That, like, I guess I don't care as much like what Outside Magazine says to a national audience, but internally I feel like we need to not make sure we're not buying our own hype too much to some degree.
Right.
Right.
You know.
It is time. I mean, the Explore Park, they, you know, they're working on a lot of new, you know, opportunities for activities like horseback riding and things like that. And it's timely information for Roanoke people that want to do activities with their children or with family visiting. That's super important for them to know what exists here. So we're not taking all this money and going to another city to do it if it's here for us. So I think in terms of newsworthiness, it's certainly worth knowing all this stuff. It's great that we have these resources.
Let's talk about something wildly different now, which is the fact that Build-A-Bear Workshop managed to shut down Valley View Mall, apparently, the other day. Not literally, but figuratively.
They, like, quote, broke the internet, but if the internet was Valley View Mall,
I saw it on a video, and I was just like, what day is it?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure, is it Valentine's Day? Like, is it something where all these people, like, what day is it that everybody's just lining up to get these bears?
So, yeah, what happened was they did this initiative called Pay Your Age Day, and therefore you could bring in your child and pay just the kid's age for a custom Build-A-Bear, which typically they're like $30 to $50. So this was a huge deal.
Gotcha.
And I pulled out this quote that They said it is important to share that based on the information available the day before, we could not have predicted this reaction to this event, which I feel like, I mean, certainly it was an overwhelming reaction, but at the same time, they're offering like basically almost a free bear. Yeah. I mean, if you bring in a 2-year-old, right?
Right.
I'm saying, how would people not want to do this? It was hot. This is an air-conditioned facility. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Are you kidding? You should expect like hordes of people to come out.
Have y'all ever been to Build-A-Bear?
I have not.
I haven't either.
I think I did.
So I don't know the process of how it works.
I feel like it's pretty creepy. Like personally, it's like sort of reverse autopsy. Like you start with like the voice box and you get it to say something and you stick that inside right. of like a shell of a little animal. Then you put clothes on it and you name it and then you give someone $45, you know? It's weird, but kids love it.
Yeah, they do.
I'm 30, so at this point I'm like, well, that's weird, but children, man, they love it. Especially when they only have to pay $8 for it.
Well, their parents love that part of it.
Right.
Right.
Oh, man. It says that the line for Build-A-Bear at one point reached Macy's department store at the opposite end of the mall, which is just nuts.
I wonder if the other stores had a good day that day.
Well, they said that there were a number of them across the country that had to close because of this thing.
Yeah, apparently they handed out vouchers to people in line that they could do this later on. So even if you were stuck in line and didn't get to Build-A-Bear, kudos to you because you get to go back on a less busy day and do it then.
Yeah, that whoever thought of that was smart. Like
you know that they were in the managers in the back, like printing them out.
Absolutely. Come back
writing
next
them on
Tuesday.
Post-it notes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh my.
Well, now Build-A-Bear's relevant again. I don't know how they were doing before, but hopefully they're having a boost.
Yeah. See, that's the problem because I didn't even know that they were still in the mall.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Like I thought they was long gone.
Yeah.
Well, I want to wrap up our local news portion today with two positive stories, and maybe we'll make this a trend of trying to end on positive stories. But one being that Reach, some of our good buddies over at Reach, are continuing to do great work in Southeast and look like they're about close to finishing up one of their first full house renovations, which is very exciting. But also, there was an event in Northwest Roanoke to clean up some of the Melrose, Loudoun, and Rugby areas that, by all accounts, seem to have gone very well. And so just to have a couple of these positive stories, and for me it's really not about the actual event as much as it is the volunteers coming together to do things and showing that they care about the place that they call home.
Absolutely. So. I think that's huge. One of the big things I've been focusing on and my girlfriend's been telling me to focus on is like really – watch the trash in people's neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
and see how, you know, if there's no trash in your neighborhood, you respect it a lot more. You know, you appreciate it. So, you know, even with the community cleanup, that community cleanup and the next community cleanup, just teaching these people to respect their neighborhoods and value their neighborhoods because then you get a sense of pride about it and you'll make other people respect it as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Agreed. And also, I think what Reach is doing with renovating these homes and getting them ready for people to move in who wouldn't be able to afford to renovate homes or necessarily buy the homes themselves, it is the one of the answers to rampant gentrification in some of these towns. And, you know, having these smaller organizations come in and do this doesn't bring so much attention from the larger federal organizations that could come in and then, you know, incentivize some of that gentrification. So if we can continue to support these small organizations or
right.
individuals who are doing this work, people who are picking up trash, I think that's going to give us a longer timeline to figure out how to keep certain people in
right.
their homes, aging in place,
yeah.
all that. So kudos to everybody doing that work. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we move on to some national, international stuff?
Yeah, so I have the great news of all of the Thailand boys being able to get out of that cave. I was sitting at home watching it with my grandma, and she just couldn't watch it because, like, with the water and, like, the kids and knowing that they haven't ate. And they didn't even get to leave before they were all, you know, the people were bringing them food to kind of get their systems back. And they were talking about how weak they were and how some of them, you know, they might not even be able to get out because they were so weak. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that they all did get out and get to their families.
I thought about how hard it would be. Hey, you know, your parent and your kid has been in there for, you know, yeah, 2 weeks, and then you get out. Apparently, they weren't allowed to, like, touch them for 3 or 4
yeah,
days.
Yeah, they were in quarantine.
They got out because they, you know, their immune systems are so weak. And it's just like, man, you just want to hug your kid after
right.
that point.
Right. But mm-hmm. I think it's really cool with the coach too. I'm 27, so I just imagine at 25, you've got all of these kids' lives in your hands, like. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. So, you know, I'm hoping that he's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's our world's heart beat a little stronger when they all got out okay. You know, it's nice to have something we can all get behind. I think mm-hmm. everybody agrees that's good news.
It's a moment of human ingenuity that I think we can all be very happy about on some level. Well, Ariel, did you watch a sporting event yesterday?
I did. I watched a soccer game. It was a pretty popular one. It was the final match of the World Cup, and France beat Croatia 4-2. It was a great game. I'm not a huge soccer fan or any sport fan, but I really enjoyed watching this game. And all of the, I mean, it was pouring rain afterward, and they were just celebrating, and both teams were being great sports. And, man, it was a... Similarly, you know, that's something the world's watching, and it's nice when people can all sort of come together and say, hey, that was a cool experience for everybody. I mean, certainly a lot of people were brokenhearted that Croatia didn't win, but it was a well-played match.
It's very interesting. I will say that as someone who reads way too much soccer news, the Croatian story is fascinating in terms of, like, you know, their star Luka Modric is about to go on trial for perjury, and, you know, there's a bunch of weird little storylines on there, and yet there was an immense pride for Croatia that I think we could see in many different places there.
Well, they should be excited because their female president that was there giving all of them the warmest embraces afterward, I think she became very famous on Twitter afterward because, man, she, like, showed up for her players. She was somebody called her, like, oh, she's everyone's mom. Like, really showed up for them, seemed just genuinely so happy for them. And I think everybody was feeling very warmly toward this world leader.
That's what's up.
Which is very funny because apparently within the country that is not necessarily the
case. Oh, really?
And a lot of people see it as a manipulative ploy. And
might be indeed. Well, also in the moment, in stark comparison to the others that were there. I mean, not that anybody was doing anything necessarily like egregiously wrong, but the way that it was sort of presented and handled at the end of the match was very interesting. And I, you know, you guys can all go watch it on YouTube or whatever, but I think a lot of people were looking on YouTube, like, or on the internet, like, who is this person? And she seems so, like, so happy. She was crying, you know, all this, but anyway.
Oh my. Well, I will share that a few days after England was unceremoniously dumped out of the World Cup, they're now in the heart of their Brexit negotiations, so that they have been trying to figure out how to get themselves out of the EU now ever since they voted on this a little over a year ago. And it has been, how do I say this without using cuss words? It has not gone particularly well for them over there. And they still can't figure out what on earth they're doing. So the question is, like, they don't want to put it back up for a vote because there's a lot of speculation that the vote would no longer be in favor of leaving the EU at this point. So the politicians don't want to face that fact. But on the same time, like, they know that if they have a hard Brexit, which is what many are pushing for, many of the folks that pushed this through originally, that will crush their economy in some ways because now they're going to be out of all the trade agreements that they would have been in before, and they won't be able to do a lot of the stuff that they want to do. But Xavier has just discovered that the chairs in here are very squeaky, but it's all good.
You have to sit perfectly still.
But on the flip side, there's soft Brexit. There's almost no reason to do it because what's the significance of it when you're not actually making a stance of being separate? So anyway, the politicians over there are not having any fun and have not had any fun in the past year. But it's worth noting that they're getting into the hardcore recommendation part and it's not going particularly well for them. So, meanwhile, the Scottish and the Irish are like, ha, 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 look at you guys.
That's the official headline that they've put out. The official reaction. Ha ha ha. Look at you guys.
Well, Ariel, tell us about some events.
Yeah, what's going on? So, since we're early on in doing this podcast, I should say that weekly we will send out a newsletter with this podcast, and accompanied we will put these links to these events in the newsletter. So if you haven't signed up, you can head to roanokeweekly.com, sign up for the newsletter, listen to the podcast, etc. So this coming week, we've got a list of events starting on Thursday the 19th from 12 to 1 at the CoLab. You can come in for a little lunch and learn and meet Joe Cobb, newly elected Roanoke City Council person and vice mayor. And that is a free event, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So you can come out and do that. He's going to be open for conversation and getting to know everybody. The next night at 11:30 p.m., you guys can come out and watch a movie at the Grandin Theater. They always do kind of a throwback movie. And I think the tickets are cheaper or something. But if you're ever, you know, up for a late night and want to go watch a movie, National Lampoon's Vacation is showing at the Grandin late night on the 20th. I'm going to toss it over to Xavier to talk about a couple events this weekend.
Okay. On the 21st, for those of you who are interested in fashion and hair, there's a huge production put on by Greg Addison with Hair Attitude Salon. It's at the Jefferson Center from 8 to 10. It's a huge fashion show, huge hair show that he does every 2 years. So if you're interested in that, please stop by. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. And then Sunday after that, while everybody's in town for that, we'll have the Humble Hustle Company and Jordan Bell present a Gainsboro cleanup day. I know I was just talking about everybody kind of taking pride in their neighborhood. This is another way for people to give back, put some time in, grab some kids, and volunteer and clean it up a little bit.
Awesome. What time is the cleanup?
The cleanup starts at 11 and it ends at 4. I'm trying to get everybody out of there before the heat's going to get you regardless.
But, right. This is a real commitment.
Yeah, but I think if we start at 11, most people probably get there around like 11:30. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, clean up, cut some trees down, cut some grass, clean up some trash in the area, and then we'll get something to eat. We'll grill and
great.
Have a good time.
You're not going to be riding a chainsaw.
You know, I might test it out. No, I don't think it's going to be anything like that. It's
no
just,
heavy duty.
No, it's thing. Just shrubbery. Okay. Just, you know, just cleaning it up a little bit. Just the
just
little
tidying.
Things. Yeah, it's just tidying it up a little bit.
That's great. Well, also on Sunday at 2 p.m. starting in Elmwood Park, there's the Old Southwest Gayborhood walking tour. This happens monthly, and it's a walking tour of this neighborhood in downtown, adjacent to downtown Roanoke. That talks about the history of the Old Southwest neighborhood as this neighborhood that's been a sanctuary, a home for the gay and lesbian residents of Roanoke for the past 50 years. It's put on by a couple folks who do a ton of research and publishing about the gay history of Southwest Virginia. And I encourage anyone who's curious to go check it out. Get a little exercise too. And speaking of exercise, on Monday the 23rd, Downshift, the new bike shop in West Station in downtown Roanoke, puts on a shop ride at 6 p.m. It's beginner friendly. So if anybody's looking to come out and learn how to ride on the road on their bike, this is a great opportunity with a really fun crowd. That's all I've got for events this week. There's a ton more. Like, clearly that's not all of them. but we picked out a few kind of diverse all over the place, all over the city events, and just make sure you check the newsletter for links to those events and sign up there. You'll get a weekly newsletter full of events. Nice. What more could you ever ask for?
Right.
Well, very good. You guys got anything else this week?
No.
No.
Stay cool.
Yeah.
Literally. It's hot.
Yeah, my flowers are dying.
Oh, all water them.
I do. Oh. Like, I soak them.
Oh.
It's just like, they're just, it's dang. Like, they're like, yeah, we really don't like being here.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what so they're sad. Telling me. I don't know.
Oh, my. Well, as Ariel mentioned, please do go on our website, subscribe to our email list, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you're listening
Spotify,
to this.
Spotify, man.
Spotify.
That's where I listen to my podcast.
Well, Ariel is much hipper than the rest of us. So.
Well, I don't know.
You don't use Apple Podcast, iTunes?
Well, I pay for Spotify. Like, I have a family plan with a bunch of my friends, so I might as well just do it there. It's all in one place for me.
How much do you pay for that?
For the family plan, I think it's like $12 or $14 a month, but I share it with friends. Don't tell Spotify I do that, but, you know,
I mean, you're not live on there. So right.
Hi, Spotify. Please don't cancel my subscription. Big fan of yours. anyway, just take that as a warning, everybody. Don't cheat the system.
Unless you do.
Stay honest.
Right. But very good. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Ariel and Xavier, for another week.
Thanks, Brad.
See you next week.
See you next week.